to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. For guys like yourself, we are just like you. We're not any different. We put our pants on the same way. We have the same fears, the same temptations, the same challenges, and we just like talking about it and what the Word of God says about it, because we know that He is the answer to all things. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what we talk about here. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you chose this alternative location on the internet instead of those other ones that will keep you in the darkness and away from this relationship with Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, leads into better relationships with our wives and with our children and with our co-workers and family members and all of those that are in our lives. So we make it right with Him. He makes it right with us. So in the studio today, we've got a topic today. It's Duke that's here first. I'm looking at him like I've been talking with him already. So, but anyway, good to have you here, bro.
Good to be here. Thank you.
We got a topic today that there are so many ramifications or ways that we can look at this and take this apart and everything, but it has everything to do with trust, okay? Now, we could talk about trusting in God. We can talk about trusting in other people, and we can talk about trusting in ourselves and trusting in the world, trusting in the hope of that many things come our way, all sorts of things. So, you know, brother, it's something that, boy, I tell you, there's all kind of, I've got a sheet here. It's probably different than your sheet that you have.
Yes.
And, but it doesn't matter. What was it that was on your heart when you had sent me that text about trust? Let's talk about
trust. Well, I kind of filtered through what you just talked about, trusting in yourself, trusting in God, trusting in your circumstance, whatever it is. I was processing that trust. In terms of trusting God, because everything springs from that. So I'll go to His Word when I'm challenged. And this last week, culmination of different prayers where I was looking for clarity in some things, and this, the idea of trust just was in my face. It, even, Raul, even before faith, It was more and more, and I was led to the classic verse in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That verse had not quite impacted me quite as much as it had this last week. And it was difficult for me to trust in whatever God's plan is in these things I've been praying about.
Yeah. Well, let's go with what a dictionary says about what the meaning of trust is.
Okay.
Used as a noun, it means firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Okay. Now, if used as a verb in sort of describing something, it is believe in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of. Okay. So, really what it comes down to is that we believe, okay, that we believe. That's what it's all about, because the more that we believe that, in this case here, we'll just say that Jesus has the strength, that I'm in, you know, important to Him, that He has everything under control. When I believe that, I'm going to feel good. But what happens, though? What happens, we get inundated with lies from the world,
mm-hmm.
that he's not really there. You're only imagining that he's there. It happens to other people, but not to you, because you're not one of the chosen ones. And so you might as well just believe in me and just go have a good time in this world and forget everybody else.
It's a fearful proposition, brother. I watched a video not that long ago that showed a swimming pool with a, I don't know, 3 or 4 year old kid on the end of the diving board. Mom's down in the water coaxing the kid to jump in. Now, he's got to trust mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fearful proposition. He hasn't been on a diving board before. He could drown.
Yes.
I mean, what kid is not worried about, I can't swim, right?
Yes.
I'll go under. He had to trust mom as she coaxed him off that diving board.
Yes.
Ultimately, he made the leap.
Yes.
And the smiles and all that. So often, that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like God is saying, trust me in this. Yeah, but Lord, it looks pretty dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I'm going to be good at it or I'll like it. Or he's going, no, just trust me in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's so hard to do.
You know, that just reminds me, growing up as a teenager, when I was getting my, had my driver's permit and everything, and my dad wanted to teach me how to drive. Well, I didn't want him to teach me how to drive because he was a terrible driver. none of us liked the way that he drove,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it just wasn't good at all. And he says, come on, I'll show you. And I go, and I remember looking at mom and kind of rolling the eyeballs, right, type of thing. And I looked at her when he wasn't looking and pointed, I want you to do this. I want you to teach me, you know. And that's what I want. I trusted her. She was a good driver, you know, and it was different than dad. And she just looked at me and just waved, go on, you know, go on, and just nodded like that. And, you know, because truly that's what. But anyway, my point being is that I trusted her knowledge of driving than I trusted my dad's knowledge of driving.
But okay? That was because you had
experience.
You
exactly.
actually saw it manifest before your eyes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so as a result of that, now, so it really comes down to the fact that, as you said, experience. You experience something that leads you to believe in that individual or in that cause or whatever it is, right?
Yes, and I was drawn, as I was looking at this in Scripture, I was drawn to those examples in my own life of when I was, I guess, challenged to trust in those areas that I wasn't willing to. And you know what, brother? I went through a kind of a gambit of times when I trusted and it did not turn out well. And then the times that I trusted, boy, it's a good thing I trusted in that. And what my recollection was that I would trust in those individuals, my parents or friends, whatever it was, over time. I seldom, even though I loved my parents the way that I did and I trusted them, there were even times when, even with that relationship, they would, you know, suggest I do something a certain way and I'd question it when really all I really need to do is trust in their wisdom, in their suggestion, and it was hard for me to do.
Right. But did you end up doing it?
Yes. Yeah. Ultimately, you do, at least with my parents, but there was times I did not.
No. But somewhere along the line, you had to make that decision. So what caused you to make that decision? Pressure?
No. I think it was trust in the relationship. I was, like in my parents' case, I was willing to trust in the end, because as I reflected back, they never guided me in such a way that would bring me harm.
Mm-hmm.
There's where I started to see Jesus. There's where I started to see the wisdom of Scripture, where God tells us to trust in him because it is not by our understanding or our wisdom, it's
mm-hmm.
by his.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it takes time to develop that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a give and take. It's almost a testing. Sometimes you trust somebody, you go, doggone it, I should not have trusted that.
So what it all comes down to, in a sense, if you boil all of this down, is time with that. Well, just in this case here, we're using the individual. Time with that individual, experiences with that individual, okay? We're talking about relationship.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That's the way you get trust.
Our relationship is what actually will help to get us to that place of believing, you know? Just like, hey, I know that if I was going to go back to being a teenager, right?
Right.
My dad if I, he's a lousy driver. He, I didn't want him to teach me, right? I wanted, yes, my mom to show me. I wanted her to teach me. But in the case where I wanted somebody to show me how to protect myself or to fight, you know, or in a sense, I wouldn't go to my mom.
No.
I would go to my dad because I knew that he knew how to do that.
He's an authority in it.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. He has not experience, and he may not have been the best fighter, but he certainly has some ideas of how I can best protect myself that might benefit me. My mom, on the other hand, would not be the one that I would go to for that. Now, why is that? Because of the experience I've had. Well, first off, my dad did a lot of the spanking, so I knew that it hurt when he hit. Okay.
Yes.
But just in the fact that he talks about his own past of growing up and the challenges he had and things that had happened. Now, I had to trust what he was telling me was true, but I saw that that was probably true the way that he revealed who he was at times, right? Again, it's in relationship with him.
Yes, it is, and it does take some time, doesn't it?
It does, and so in some cases, not so much. I mean, in some, you know, if you had a guy that walked up to you that was, you know, about 6'3 and 240 pounds and buff and big arms, guns on him, right? And he says, I want to show you how to fight. I'd probably listen to this guy and say, well, you look like you might be a pretty good fighter, you know?
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
I would not have to take much because I experienced by seeing him, saying,
yes,
and listening and looking at him, saying, okay, this guy, it's pretty intimidating. He might be right on mark with being able to show me some things that I don't know, right? I wouldn't have to spend a lot of time with him. So I think it comes back down to that experience. Okay?
Well, and conversely, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, what if the guy's 5'4 and 175 and he says, I can show you? I'm not sure that the visual would be as impactful as the guy you just described. But does
unless this guy did some flips around in midair and did some things that I sit there and go, whoa, okay.
Show me a couple of moves. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. You're right.
But that's part of what it comes down to. That's part of where we get that belief, that trust system in. The apostles were the same way. I mean, Jesus, you know, went up to, up to heaven after his death and everything, and some of them still had a hard time believing.
Yes.
Okay.
True enough.
They just had a hard time believing. I mean, he rose from the dead, okay, comes back and said, what are you going to show us, you know? We doubt that this was you. Thomas says, Jesus takes his hand and puts it in his wound on the side, okay? Here it is. It's me.
Trust that I'm telling you the truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I am alive, okay? So they had to see that, okay? Now, they write that down in the Gospels. We read it. We didn't experience it. We didn't see it. But what has happened? Well, there's something that takes place when we get to that place of having the opportunity of knowing the Lord. People remind us that get into the Word. That's how you get to know Him. Be with other people like-minded that are seeking Him. That all of a sudden you'll hear more of what's taking place. You'll hear how Jesus has impacted others in their lives, and then all of a sudden you start to wonder, I wonder if that could happen for me. Because that's truly how we ended up going toward Him. Our curiosity was stricken. We were in hopelessness, in despair, and somebody said, Jesus is the way. I mean, in not so many terms. Yeah. And we believe that.
Well, but then we had to trust it.
We had to try it out.
Yes,
we had to try it out, you know. I think one of the key things that I found for myself in believing is that it's kind of like walking off, you know, those public pools. They got two sizes of boards to jump off of, right?
Right.
You got the low one and the high one. I always did the low one. That was, you know, safe, right? Not so, you know.
Yeah, not me,
The high one is like, okay, maybe. But there was a time when I was pressured to go up there. And I wanted to try to show that I can do this. And I'd never done it before. And, you know, when you climb that ladder going up, there's always people behind you. You know, there's only one way off of this platform.
Yeah, you don't get to turn around.
You don't get to turn around and say, can you, you guys get move out of the way so I can come down the ladder?
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So you know that somewhere along the line, you're going to have to jump off of this thing, and Don't worry about how good it looks. Just do it, right?
Yes.
And trusting in the Lord is kind of like that, that you just run and you jump. Now, as soon as you jump, your part of me wants to go back.
Well, yes.
The law of gravity takes over, and you cannot go back, and now you're going to fall, and you're dropping, right? So my point is the same thing with the Lord, and when we do that, and trusting in Him, okay, in areas especially, Lord, are you there for me? You know, Lord, I pray that you're there. I hope that you're there, and in doing that and seeking Him, okay, if it be His will, He's going to reveal Himself to us, okay? It may not be exactly how we would like it, but this could be better than what it was before. And in doing so, now we have that experience. It's no different than all of a sudden, I mean, how many times we heard people tell stories about how they got out of situations that it had to be an angel that was there, okay? God has the all power available to Him to be able to use, to be able to get our attention and to actually maybe solidify some questions in our mind of whether He's really there or not.
Amen. And I guess the challenge I had with, or I'm challenged with all the time with trust is not so much climbing that ladder,
right.
The guys behind me, it's the outcome. I don't know, maybe because I'm wired the way I am or the way that we are, that I tend to go down the road of how will this work out before I'm trusting in that first step.
Yes.
It's like Martin Luther King Jr. said, you don't have to see the whole staircase to take the first step.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
There's wisdom in that proposition. So climbing up for that high board and all that, I get that. And I can be prompted to initially go that way. But my mind is being pulled mainly by the dark side, about the outcome's not going to come out like it. You're probably going to hit the water hard. You're probably going to drown. You're probably going, all the fear,
yes,
that Satan puts in your brain while you're trying to trust.
Yes. And that's what he does. That's what he does well. Well, let's take a break and let's come back and talk about how some of these things that are actually given to us as a result of attempting to trust. We know that if there is good, there is evil. And the Lord told us that this world is the domain of the evil one, Satan. This,
yes,
is his. So not Satan didn't create the mountains and the trees and the oceans. And the Lord did that, okay? But the world itself and all of us, that's his domain.
Yes.
So we'll be right back. You're talking. We are talking. You're listening. But you're listening to Band of Brothers for Christ. Band of Brothers Radio.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Does the enemy have you pinned down, caught in the crosshairs? There's always a way out. Fire an email to help@bandofbrothersradio.com and we'll offer a strategy.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
When you feel like you're alone in your sadness, seems like no one in this whole world cares, and you want to get away from the madness, you just call my name and I'll be there. You just call my name and I'll be there.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Okay, you know what? We should actually just record our conversation in between as we're discussing this sort of thing, because we go back to this trust. We use the high board at the public pool, right, as an example. And then we bring out the other one that I told him. I said, you know, getting on that high board, it doesn't start just getting on the ladder. it starts before that, because most of the time, if you remember, if you've ever experienced this, there's always a lineup to get on the high jump, right, or the high board to jump off of there. So there's usually a lineup, and they're on the ground still. And if you get in that line, you're almost committed to do that sort of thing, right?
Yes.
Because you're committed to the sense, to the point that if you did not stay in that line and you said, I've got to go, you're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be, you know,
persecuted, maybe.
Yeah, no matter what. They're going to say, oh, you weak guy or whatever. You know, they use other words, and we did too.
Yes.
But my point being is that we make a commitment of some sort. I'm going to go through with this. I'm going to go through with this. I don't know if it's got to be okay. I'm watching everybody else jumping off. They're having a good time. They're fun. Nobody's broke their neck yet. No one's drowned. I'm actually hoping that somebody will drown so they'll tell everybody out of the pool, right, before I go. Right?
Yes.
You wish harm on other people so you didn't have to go through that sort of thing. I mean, this is all part of that place of, I believe, in gaining trust in the Lord.
And you know, the more that I look at this, and I don't want to wrestle with the alligator over and over again. As men, we really do want to check that box and get done with it. We're not very good with living in that place of uncertainty. And as I went there, I began to think of things that were just good common sense. I thought of blind trust, pain, fear, all of the things that would keep me from trusting in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have faith. I have examples of his word. He's manifested in my life. So it's not like he hasn't proven to me that I can trust him. But it what spun me out this last week, it was the fact that I was wrestling with the alligator again. I'm like, how many times do I have to question if I'm going to trust you, Lord?
Yeah. Well, I believe what it comes down to is that it's my will versus God's will. That's really what it comes down to. I'm wrestling with God, okay? That I don't want, I'm afraid that this may not turn out right, but I want to blame God for it if
yeah.
that were the case.
Or somebody.
Okay? Or somebody, right?
Yes.
But the simple fact is that I'm desiring something as a result of an action or an attempt or a decision that needs to be made, and I want proof that it's going to come through. Well, the Lord gives us his word that is inerrant. It is truth. He says that, you know, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Yet how many times have we felt like, you're not there. You,
yes.
Where did you go?
Yes.
You know, people use that thing about footprints, you know, about the footprints in the sand, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the Lord was carrying me during that time. That's why it turned to one set of footprints instead of two sets. My point being is that somewhere along the line, if we get into his word even more, and that's what we do all the time. You do it in your ministry. I do it in my ministry. Always reminding men, let's get into the word of God, okay? Because there you're going to find the answers. There you're going to come to the knowledge and the wisdom, okay? The knowledge of the Lord, he's going to give you wisdom so that we would be able to make the decisions in trusting him and being able to let others know that you can trust in him. Now, that comes from our experiences, too, that we share with others.
Well, there you go. And when it, one of the reasons I was pressing into God for what I needed to trust him in this last week, that proposition had me trusting upon the character of God. It had me trusting that he never lies, he never changes, that his word continues to declare that. He's worked in the lives of so many people. So I've got this living example, this proof. I even see it around me. But I did find myself kind of hesitating about that. How do I know, Lord? How can I trust you in this, Lord? So I don't want to go forward on just blind faith. There's a lot of fear and trepidation in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I, again, going back to his word, you're going, okay, you've never lied. You, I can trust you. You've shown up. Why is it, Lord, that it seems that I continue to wrestle at different times? And I just had to reconcile with that. Maybe I'm not trusting him enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And I needed to more die to self and more trust in him, all those things, brother.
But it's like anything else. If you've let's use another example. Let's say we're in high school. Now, we're way past high school. Right?
Really?
But you see, you remember somebody, you come across somebody that you were in high school with. Maybe another guy who was really, he was just as athletic as you were or whatever, had the same desires and things that you did. Okay. And he was good at it just as you were good at it, okay? Now, when years go by, you have not seen this guy or anything. What are one of the things that you're going to bring up with him? The stuff that happened in high school.
Yeah, stuff we remember.
Are you still doing that sort of thing? Are you still working on cars like you were back then? Are you still working out? You look like you have been, you know, and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You try to get caught up on what's going on. And you can, and if he's a good friend or one that was a good friend back then, all of a sudden you start, before you know it, you're spending more time with him because you're enjoying talking about the way things used to be, okay? Mm. And maybe how things are today in your life. I'm using that analogy the same as our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, there was a moment in time in our relationship with Jesus that we came to him humbly, broken, not sure whether he would actually forgive us our sins, but he has, and he revealed certain things to us and reminding us that he is there. He put certain people in our lives, and now we start remembering some of the experiences that we've had at that moment in time when we submitted and surrendered to him, not only as our Savior, but as our Lord, okay? Now you start remembering some of those things. The book of Revelation talks about, I think it's in Revelation 4, he talks about that you have, he's talking to one of the churches saying that you have lost
your first love. Yes.
Okay? And when it comes down to it, for us as men, we get tight with the Lord, then all of a sudden we start, I don't know about you, but I say, hey, Lord, I know you're driving. Can I get you to scoot over? Let me drive for a little while here. You know, you be on the passenger seat. Let me drive for a while. You're here with me, but and I'll ask you to help me out if I need any help. Now, that's how we, because we want certain things. We desire certain things. And, you know, we know that if we go to the Lord, he may say, no, this is not what I want you to do. But you want to see if you can make it work with him riding with you.
Well, we want to be in control.
Really?
Yeah. And you're right. Given that wheel over is a perfect example of trust.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the reason I have confidence in it, Raul, is because I have trusted, I have seen it work, and I've seen it in the lives of others. Mm-hmm. It doesn't discard the fact that each time I'm challenged with that I don't have an initial hesitation or fear before I jump off that diving board.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Kind of thing. And we do have to trust that in the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back and forth on this sometimes. What I ended up, I guess, this last week was deciding there was enough examples of trust that Satan had me in a place of distrust. He had me, it's kind of like he was grabbing onto one of my ankles as I'm trying to jump off the diving board.
Right.
And it's starting to hurt a little bit.
Right.
So now I get anxious.
Yep.
I'm like, I need to trust you. It's not just I want to. Mm-hmm. I need to, mm-hmm. because any other way is not going to turn out, because I have proof of that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to this thing on relationship. That's what this is all about.
It is.
Once again, it's about our relationship with him. Do you have a best friend in your life?
Yes.
Okay. So many of us have best friends. One that you can go to and know that they're not going to judge you or condemn you. You can say or do anything in front of them. They're not going to look at you like, hey, man. Because they care about you. No, they actually love you, okay? And we sometimes are best friends of other people, okay? And we know that how we care about them, and I hope and pray they never think that I would think or do anything that would be harmful to them, okay? Now, the Lord wants us to be his best friend, or I should say vice versa. I think he desires that we desire him to be our best friend.
Amen.
Okay?
Yep.
So that we would come to him with everything, which the word tells us to do that. He says, come to me with everything. Cast all your anxieties and your fears upon me. You know, let me show me what it is that you want. If it lines up with what I desire for you, if it be my will, you will receive it.
Yes.
And you don't get because you don't ask. Because you ask with wrong motives. Bing, ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
There it is right there, that we ask with wrong motives.
Well, I'm trusting that he's going to give me the solution that I want. There's the rub right there, isn't it? Because we want what we want. And not that always trusting means that you're going to be led to a place you don't want to be, of course, because God knows the desires of your heart, and he wants you to be abundant in that. But that's also part of that trust. You know what you say about relationships, as you're saying that, a buddy of mine just went home yesterday that had been to my house the last few days, a guy I've known for 44 years. So as you're saying that, I considered him my best friend. I do trust him. I trust that if I was in a spot, he would stand in the gap. I trust that if I was in an altercation, that he would stand by my side. And you're right. I can call this guy and pretty much bleed anything on him. Now, not that he has some magical answer,
yes.
Okay? But you're right. It's that trust in that relationship. And that's where I had to kind of end up here as I sought counsel, sought prayer in these areas that I need to trust. It's showing up.
Yeah.
And in such a way that God knows how I can receive it. Because we're all different.
And that's probably a good thing.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that this all comes around to is that our walk with the Lord, our relationship with Him, there's much that we come to an understanding more of who He is, but He also gives us this thing, not only confidence that we end up having in Him, but wisdom. See, it's in the wisdom, which is what gives us the knowledge of who He is and being able to trust and believe in Him, okay? And I love Proverbs. Proverbs is so good. I think men ought to be reading Proverbs every day, along with other parts of the Bible. But Proverbs, they will make you ponder deeply, think in your heart on things. It'll make you laugh sometimes. It'll get you to just really just be encouraged because of the things that you have done, and it gives you hope of what could take place. So in Proverbs, here Solomon writes in Proverbs 2, he says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk is blameless. For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones."
Okay. Yes.
You want more? Read the rest of Proverbs 2. Read it all. But here He's given us promises in seeking Him. And not just listening, but actually doing it. You know? We've got to remember that it's not about just knowing the Word of God. It's about whether or not we really apply it or not. See, the enemy, Satan, knows the Word of God.
Yes, yes.
So that doesn't mean anything.
No, and on that note, I had to, although I get that, it almost this white-knuckle experience of trusting and all that, I had to go to examples. I needed, and so I went to God's Word, and I found examples like Gideon, the trust that Gideon had. Job, the trials he went through. And the one that probably struck me most in some of my studies had to do with, you know, David. I think in the Psalms it says there's 39 references about trust just in the Psalms by itself, and it was on that basis of trust that David finds deliverance from the evil that he encounters. But, you know, it didn't come easy either, brother. As David cried out to God, it wasn't just once or twice and God delivered him. It was over and over, just like Job. And Gideon denying that, no, this can't be where you want me. I'm the least of the least. So oftentimes, that's how we feel.
Yep.
But praise God, I had examples I could go to and know that it was true and know that I could trust in that outcome.
Yes.
Whatever it may be.
Let's take our last break here. Yeah. When we come back, let's talk about, I believe, one of the things that is so, so important in acquiring or being able to receive this trust. It might surprise a few of you. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flight case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and okay, before I give you what I believe is the one thing that will actually get us to that place of trusting even more, you have three ways that you have through the what you looked up and found that of how to gain trust. Is that what?
And it's said many different ways, but
sure.
In this particular study, they declare three ways that you can get to know him. Know him being that relationship piece we're talking about. We can't have the trust without the relationship. So the writer here says, here's three ways. Studying his word, we know that. Reviewing his working in our own lives, and learning to follow his voice. So this writer says there's three words. Studying his word, looking at how he's worked in our own lives, and then learning to listen and follow God's prompting the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you can drill down to one thing. It sounds like the movie City Slickers, that one thing.
Oh, yeah. What was that one thing?
Yeah. Yes. He had to discover it on a journey, did he not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
With others around him.
Yes.
Okay.
What was the name of the guy that played the...
Billy Crystal.
No, the cowboy.
Oh, I don't remember.
You can't remember?
No, I can't remember.
I can't either.
Yeah, his face of leather and all that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And some of the remarks he made to Billy Crystal on that sort of thing. But anyway, we're not talking about a movie. You know, the one thing that this whole thing comes down to it that I believe is something that we have, we hit on the head at times and we miss it sometimes. And sometimes we go, why do I have to go here? Why can't, because we feel we deserve sometimes something without having to do anything. Obedience is what it's all about. See, in our relationship with the Lord, okay, we come to know him, okay? And as a result of getting the knowledge of who he is, and we hear of his promises for us and everything, it doesn't work unless we're obedient to him.
In what way?
He says to do this, seek me first above all things.
Okay.
That's not just an okay. That means, hey, you seek me above all things first.
All things.
Everything. Everything, everybody. you seek me first. And then you, then he talks about it, the second greatest commandment, calling that the first greatest commandment. So the second one is like it, okay? And that's to love others as you love yourself, or to think of others more highly than yourself. Whatever that is, the point being is that there requires obedience on our part in doing that. And in doing that, then all of a sudden the doors open up. All of a sudden, in being obedient and trusting in him, the trust is there. We make the commitment and we move forward. He says in James, right, you know, faith without works is dead.
Yes.
You can have all the faith and so on and so forth, but if you're not able to put it into works, into action, and it's not about getting closer to God because you're doing good works. No, it's because of God you're doing good works.
Yes.
Okay? That's what it comes down to. I need to be obedient because it's tough. But in obedience, that's how we show our love for the Lord.
Yes. And in that obedience, that's where he's directing us as a father does his children.
Exactly.
But not in a way that is, I guess, not tolerable for us. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me." That's part of the push. When I'm trusting and I'm in prayer, I'm listening for that direction, I guess.
Right.
So that, but I think part of the rub here, Raul, is that when I'm there, I keep wanting to trust in my plan, what I want, like you just said. That's probably the most difficult thing for all of us as followers is to submit to that and be obedient, as you say, to that promise that if you do this, I will show up, and you can trust in that. That through those experiences that we know. This is one of the reasons that we do this show. This is one of the reasons I know that I can come and talk about these things is because through others and through these other relationships we have, we're able to drill down into these things and be reminded and lifted up in them.
You know, a big part of this obedience, okay, in the Gospels, Jesus talks about it all over the place, okay? But one of the things that I just believe it's so important for us to know, in John chapter 15, I'm just going to read what Jesus says. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing."
Yes. Yes.
So I'll stop right there. So the obedience is remaining in him, abiding in him, doing everything for him, knowledge of his presence in my life as I do things. Lord, if this be your will, I feel this is where you want me to go. This is what you want me to do. If it isn't, help me to have eyes to see what it is that you want, or the courage to withdraw, or to not continuing seeking these things for my own benefit, but it's for your will, not my will, be done.
Amen. And you know, as we disciple men and pastor men, when I'm faced with things like this, where I'm kind of spun out for a minute, I have to go back to what if another man came to me with the same proposition.
Yeah.
So as I go through that exercise, what kind of advice would I give me if I was on the other end of the table? And so many times I expect or am waiting for that answer, but I'll find myself telling guys that are in that place of indecision that maybe God's already told you.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you questioning it?
Yes.
It goes to that obedience.
Yeah. And Jesus was obedient to the cross.
To the death.
Okay.
Yes.
He was obedient to that. Yes. Did he know that he was going to have to go through all this stuff? Absolutely he did. But Jesus was a man who felt the pain, the physical pain that we would feel. Not only that, he experienced pain that we would probably never, ever feel, and that's the wrath of God.
Yes.
That he took on for our sins, okay? And as a result of that, he knew. There's a moment in time that humanness came out when he said, this cup I want to pass, Father.
Yes.
He didn't want to have to, you know, there was that part of him that said, okay, nah, I don't want to do this anymore. Just for a splecken.
Yeah. Well, and he said, why have you forsaken me? Yeah. He questioned that on the cross, yeah. Did he not?
Yeah. No. Yeah. The point being is that seeking the Lord and being obedient to his word, okay? See, it's not just knowing. It's not just being, it's doing, okay? But it's doing it because that's what he deserves. Because truly what ends up taking place is that we are going to be with him for eternity. This time that we're on this earth is only a stepping stone for eternal time with the Lord. So it's our responsibility as men to show the love of the Father to our wives, to our children, to our neighbors, to our extended family, our co-workers, everybody that we come in touch with. Can it be done? Yes. But only if you're connected to the vine.
Yes. We trust in that.
Good topic, brother. Would you pray for our brothers?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that these words we spoke today from your Holy Spirit would strike the hearts and minds of those men that need to trust you and be obedient to you, that you will show up for them so that they can see it clearly. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom. Brother, there is hope. There is hope, and you are not alone.